A new report by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization has found that a growing number of mega fires may contribute to global warming. The report, presented on Tuesday at the 5th International Wildland Fire Conference in South Africa, called upon countries to implement more comprehensive fire management strategies and improve the monitoring of carbon emissions that cause global warming. Lydia O'Kane spoke to the Assistant Director General of the Forestry Department at FAO, Eduardo Rojas.
It's true that the climate change is one of the driving factors due to the fact that the areas suffering drought are expected to be broader in the geographical scale, and the periods of drought may be more intense. But it's also true that not only climatic reasons bring forest fire risk higher, but as well socioeconomic changes by the loss of traditional activities that were very fire preventing, were strongly rooted in the customs and traditions proven over centuries, as well as the tendency to concentrate population in cities, and by it, the recovery of former forest landscape by brush and very dense forest stands that are that can be easily move into big fire. So it is more a global change than only climate change, which is a driving factor for these mega fires.
I mean, are these fires becoming more frequent?
Yes, the fires, these mega fires are getting more frequent. Especially, we observe this clearly in what we could call the developed dry countries, at least the countries that have a significant dry period, like the U.S., very clearly, like the Mediterranean countries, in the European case. In both cases, these mega fire problems get bigger, despite huge investments on the technical side in order to repress these fires. And there is where the specialists have come to the conclusion that investing more in repression will not solve the problem, that we have really to tackle the fact that our landscapes are today much more vulnerable to mega fires than they were perhaps 50 years ago, where still a significant land occupation was ongoing and where the mosaic landscape was preventing big fires to become a big threat, what is not the case in the moment.
Well, every year, how much forestry are we losing as a result of these fires?
It's difficult to calculate because a part of these areas either regrowth or the forest, the fires only affecting the understory. So despite more or less it's about 1% of the forest area, about 35 million hectares that burns annually, we cannot estimate that all the area is lost. And there are different speeds of recovery in any case. So only a small part of these areas really is long-lastingly lost, especially if there is a change of use, if agriculture follows, which is something more related to the forest fires in the rain tropical areas.
Are some countries more susceptible than others?
Yes, we identify four largely areas, as I comment, the drier developed countries like the U.S. And Mediterranean, the tropical wet wetter countries, rainforest countries, which normally wouldn't have fires in natural conditions, but degradation, deforestation generates possibilities for forest fires, and then there is the savannas, which has been traditionally the drylands in the tropics burned, and it's an issue of the intensity of the fires more than that will be specifically damaging. And a fourth category, which is strongly related to climate change, is increasing fires in the boreal area, namely the fires we suffered last year in Russia, in Western Russia, Ukraine, and as well in Canada, that are linked to lower rainfall and higher temperatures in these regions. Fires were known in that area, but normally were not so intensive as in the frequent times.
What would be the major causes of these mega fires?
On one hand, in the case of the boreal, is clearly the reduced rainfall and increased temperature, so the changing climatic conditions. Whereas in the developed countries that have this more drier climate, like common the U.S. and Mediterranean countries, here it's clearly much more than climate change that is involved, but much more is the social changes and the urbanization and the recovery, the spontaneous recovery of shrubs and forest vegetation without any disruption and the loss of the mosaic landscape and the traditional agriculture and forest activities, and the strict technical fire repression approach would be like if we would have a patient and just focusing on health and but not on healthy lifestyle, but on putting doctors and hospitals, which is more reactive approach. In the case of the wetter tropics, of course, deforestation activities, the land degradation, unsustainable forest logging, all this generates that the dense canopy and the humid conditions typical to this tropical forest is lost, that there is a dry out vegetation that can burn, and there important fires, especially in Indonesia some years ago, we had really very extensive fires as well in the Amazon case, maybe a threat for forest in huge areas. In that region, the climate change is not so critical. It is much more these human-driven activities of deforestation.
Also, could you say that these fires are started, can be started by humans as well?
Yes, in overall, 90% of the fires being in any of these regions starts by human activities. Practically from natural, we have only dry thunderstorms, lightning that create fires, especially in the boreal area. And in areas with volcanoes can create it, but this is a very restricted geographical course. Every other kind of forest fires is started by human beings.
So what can be done? What can be done with regard to protection? What strategies need to be put in place?
Surely we need, in the case of countries that have not prepared themselves for this problem, to create capacity in fire repression. This is surely in the case of Russia needed. It was shown last year very clearly. But as well in many developing countries which face important problems that they have no capacity to react. We have conduct projects, for example, in Mauritania, where despite everyone thinks it's a desert country in the south, there are important shrub and forest vegetation. The same we could speak about Botswana. It's also a dry country, but they have also important savanna. In this kind of countries, especially scarcely populated countries, we need to create capacity to fight against extended fires. In the case of the tropics, the most important is really to stop deforestation and degradation, and in order to avoid that the canopy is open, that the forest loses its humidity, because a relatively intact or sustainable managed tropical rainforest has no risk of forest fires at all. Especially in these countries with more or less Mediterranean and dry climate, there it is very important not only to stress repression activities that are very, very expensive, but to invest in a more sustainable land use management where we assure that there are discontinuities in the forest cover, so that if a forest fire starts, it is possible to stop it in some place and to recover these traditional interruptions, or be agriculture, to recover forest management, and even to understand that the wise use of fire may be one of the elements to use against big fires. It's also, if we create a too repressive attitude, we repress an element that is an element of the ecosystem. The Aboriginal people in Australia, not only there, learned over centuries that they could not avoid the fires. On the contrary, they had to use the fires in order to keep the ecosystem in the best situation, and they burned practically every part of the country at least once every 10 years. By this, they assured that the accumulation of fuel was reduced. They had sprouting vegetation, which was much more eatable for the kangaroo, who was the basis of food, of protein. And on the other hand, situation, this kind of scattered, burned areas of different times allowed that the fire never could get into a mega fire, because there were always interruptions in the landscape. This kind of landscape are also much more biodiverse biodiverse and much more interesting from a landscape perspective. And these lessons that once the Western came to Australia forgot have created these huge fires, for example, that Sydney is suffering regularly. So we have to learn of these kind of practices to recover them and to have a sound management of fuel in the areas with dry climates, because the normal system in wetter conditions of the vegetation just rots, doesn't work, and it's much better to conduct that process by prescribed burning instead of excluding prescribed burning, as it is done in many areas due to the fear that this prescribed burning might generate fires. It's like when you get a vaccine, you get a little bit of the element that may create critical illness in order to immunize you against it. And this prescribed burning is the most advisable technique in these kind of conditions in order to reduce the fuel load and in certain way to vaccinate the forest against a big fire.